Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Friday, June 18th. I'm Oscar Ramirez in Los Angeles, and this is The Daily Dive. Even as more parts of the country continue to fully reopen from the pandemic, you're going to keep seeing what many are calling hygiene theater. Think plexiglass dividers, scanning QR codes for menus, and the constant cleaning of surfaces, despite surface contact not being a significant transmitter of the virus. These actions have much more to do with making customers feel better than it does with science. Mark Fisher, senior editor at the Washington Post, joins us for how long this hygiene theater may last. Next, we have a new tech alert. Over the next few weeks, a company named Kernel will be shipping out a high-tech helmet that can read your mind. It can analyze electrical impulses and blood flow, and researchers hope it can help gain insight into brain aging, mental disorders, strokes, and even what happens to the brain during meditation and even psychedelic trips. Kernel CEO Brian Johnson is an interesting character himself and hopes that these helmets can further our understanding of the brain. Ashley Vance, writer at Bloomberg Businessweek, joins us for more. It's news without the noise. Let's dive in.
In some places, we are moving back toward normal. In other places, businesses, public facilities, entertainment venues, all kinds of places like that are kind of caught in the middle because on the one hand, they want to open up. They want to give people a feeling of normalcy. On the other hand, they know that some of their customers are still very nervous about going out.
Joining us now is Mark Fisher, senior editor at The Washington Post. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
It's great to be with you.
I wanted to talk about hygiene theater. Right now, the country is opening back up from the pandemic in a lot of cases. The rollout has been slow and different from state to state, city to city. Everybody's kind of on their own right now. But this hygiene theater, this kind of over-cleaning, closing down. You go to a restaurant or a fast food place and they close down the fountain drink section. You know, it's walled off with like police tape or something like that. And, you know, everybody has to get everything for you. It's a slow roll back into getting back to normal. But these are things that we probably don't need. We've found out more about the virus and it doesn't stick to surfaces and it's not as transmissible that way. So a lot of people are looking for that moment when we can stop all of that and just get back to normal. So Mark, tell us a little bit more about this.
Well, that's exactly right. And what we're seeing is that in some places, we are moving back toward normal. In other places, businesses, public facilities, entertainment venues, all kinds of places like that are kind of caught in the middle because on the one hand, they want to open up. They want to give people a feeling of normalcy. On the other hand, they know that some of their customers are still very nervous about going out. They don't want to think they won't be safe. And so a lot of adopting precautions that really aren't scientifically merited. So you talked about things that, that bars against touching things, you know, this sort of heavy disinfecting of surfaces that we saw in the early months of the lockdown. There are transit systems and theaters and other public facilities that are still doing that, even though they know that the virus is not transmitted by touch. So why are they still doing it? Well, there are two big reasons. One is they're doing it to make their customers feel more comfortable. And the other is they're doing it to save money. They're doing some of these things to save money. So they're, for example, at restaurants, it's hard at some restaurants to get a printed menu anymore. You have to aim your camera and on the phone and pull up the QR code and pull up a digital menu. Well, that was initially done to make people feel more comfortable and to stop the spread. But now that's no longer valid scientifically. It's often being done to save money.
Right. And the question comes now, what will stick? What's going to stay with us after things fully reopen? And you were talking to some people about all of this. And one of the big pushes for getting vaccinated was everything is going to go back to normal, right? But with these things persisting, it tends to degrade that customer experience. You know, you can't move around as freely as you wanted to before. You still have plexiglass up and everything. So I kind of agree in that sense that it's still all these barriers are kind of off-putting. But a lot of it, as you mentioned, has to do with psychology. It makes customers feel more comfortable that the business, restaurant, whatever it is putting more effort into keeping clean so the customers can feel a little bit better about it.
It puts business owners in a really tough spot because on the one hand, they don't want to alienate their customers who just want to feel more comfortable, feel safer. And so they want to keep up some of those precautions to communicate the sense that the business is taking this very seriously. I talked to some business owners who said, well, we're keeping the temperature checks because it gives people that feeling of comfort. I think eventually much of this goes away, but there's a really cautionary tale in the aftermath of 9/11. And if you think about all the things that have become a permanent part of the landscape, from showing an ID card in the lobby of an office building to some of the restrictions at airports, a lot of these precautions, once they're put in place, it's awfully hard to take them away.
You mentioned in the article, too, that a lot of Americans that want this kind of clear rules about how things are going to go forward. I mean, we didn't get them throughout the entirety of the pandemic, any really clear course on a lot of things. But there'll probably be a little more disappointment in the coming months as the reopenings are so uneven. Everybody's kind of all over the place. And, you know, obviously businesses for themselves, they don't want to get caught in something and you know, an outbreak happened and then they're held liable. So there's going to be a lot of this kind of one rule set, maybe taking it back, this jockeying back and forth is going to happen for a few months at least.
I think that's right. And probably at least through next winter, we're going to see the same kind of back and forth that we just saw, for example, from Southwest Airlines, where first they said they were going to resume serving alcohol on their flights. And then just days later, they scrapped that plan because they saw how poorly some passengers were behaving in the air these days. So there's going to be a back and forth. We're seeing it in hotels. We're seeing it in transit systems. And I think one of the main places we'll be seeing it is in entertainment venues, in bars and restaurants, in concert halls, movie theaters. They really are caught. They don't know exactly what they can safely let go of. And yet I hear from a lot of people that they're just ticked off by some of these restrictions. For example, at Nationals Park, the baseball stadium here in D.C., they put in these touchless dispensers for the condiments, replacing the old bins where you could kind of reach in and get a spoonful of onions to put on your hot dog. They replaced that with these machines that put down a huge plop of ketchup or mustard when you waved your hand under it. And fans went crazy. They said they didn't know how to operate it, and it was ruining their hot dogs because there was too much stuff coming out of the machine. And so finally the team said, okay, forget it. We won't do the touchless thing anymore. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth.
And, you know, a lot of kind of inconsistencies with that, especially at the Nationals Park where you were talking about, you know, you got to download a QR code to order some of your concessions. Well, the person is still manually handing you a hot dog. So you're not touching them for one part of it, you're still interacting with them for other parts of it. So it can be very confusing. And, you know, it's up to, in all of these cases, it's our local public health experts who are making these decisions. Without some type of big national rule or something, it really is going to be down to being done at the local level.
And even at the individual business level, I talked to some folks from the National Restaurant Association, and they're telling their members, hey, you can go back to printed menus, you don't have to do the temperature checks. And yet many of their members are deciding to kind of violate that recommendation and go ahead and continue to have those restrictions, in part sometimes because they don't have the staff that they had before the pandemic. And so they don't have somebody who can rewrite the menus and print them out, and they don't want to pay for that. So it's going to be a mix of motives here, where it's not just about safety. It's not just about curbing the spread of the virus. It's also about what these individual businesses that have been hit so hard can afford going forward.
Well, we'll see how much of this hygiene theater does continue. Mark Fisher, senior editor at The Washington Post, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As we add more detectors, we can see that our estimation of where the brain activity is coming from gets closer to the correct location.
These advancements allow for precise localization of brain activity. Kernel Flow is the beginning of a new era of neuroscience, providing scalable, low-cost cortical activity maps.
Joining us now is Ashley Vance, writer at Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. Thanks for joining us, Ashley.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about an interesting new piece of technology, a $50,000 helmet that the makers of it are hoping can read people's minds, analyze the brain in a variety of different ways. This is all the brainchild of a man named Brian Johnson. He has a company called Kernel. And over the next few weeks, they're actually going to start shipping out these brain helmets out to a bunch of universities, companies, a bunch of people, so they can all start looking into the brain for whatever it is, a variety of different reasons, brain aging, mental disorders, people looking into psychedelic experiences, all that. So, Ashley, tell us a little bit about these helmets, and then we'll get into the story of Brian Johnson as well, because he's kind of an interesting guy.
Yeah, he is. the company Kernel, they've been around for about 5 years working to develop this technology, and I've kind of been following their journey along the way. You know, the heart of what they have done is shrink devices that you might find in a hospital. People might be familiar with, like, fMRI machines, MEG machines. There's 5 or 6 things we use today to study the brain. They tend to be really big. They're expensive. They require, like, a technician to oversee the procedures. And so Kernel shrunk these things down into something that's closer to, like, a consumer electronics device. And they're still able to peer through the skull to watch your neurons fire, to watch blood flow in the brain. And so, you know, the big idea here is with these tools being kind of easier to use, we may get a ton more data about how the brain works than we've ever had before.
Tell me a little bit more about the devices they have. There's 2 devices. One they named Flow. This looks at the attention span, the brain functions like that. And then Flux is the other product that they have, and that's more about brain performance. So how do these helmets look into that?
Yeah, and just so people know, I mean, the helmets, they look like bike helmets, more or less, just maybe like a slightly chunkier version. And on the inside, you know, they've got lasers and computer chips and all these sensors. But yeah, so one more or less tracks electrical activity. So when you're thinking about something or doing an activity, you know, your neurons are firing, and this sends pulses of light through the skull into the brain and is actually able to kind of detect when your neurons fire. And so that gives us, like, one bucket of clues and information about interesting things happening in the mind. The other one tracks blood flow, same sort of thing. When you're doing an activity, you know, blood rushes to different regions of your brain to feed it with oxygen. And so the helmet looks for that. It's interesting. When I was talking to scientists, there's still a lot of debate around which method is better for which types of functions. And this is part of the reason we kind of need these things. We still don't know a ton about what's going on in the brain when we're doing activities and thinking. And so they wanted to make both devices.
Yeah. And these are going to be shipped out to Harvard Medical School, University of Texas, Institute for Advanced Consciousness Studies. I mean, there's a lot of big labs and companies that are going to start toying around with this. So what is the overall goal of this? Obviously, you kind of mentioned, you know, stepping away from these huge rooms with, you know, just huge machines that would do this. I think Brian Johnson for himself mentioned he wanted to eventually bring this down to the cost of a smartphone one day so more people can start using it. But what's the overall goal with it?
Yeah, you know, in the near term, while the devices are expensive, I think this is going to start out, like you mentioned, with research institutions. And so I talked to one scientist who studies people who have suffered from strokes or Parkinson's disease, and often they're going through therapy sessions where they have their brains imaged by one of these expensive machines once at the beginning of the therapy session and then once at the end, 6 months later, to see how things went. You know, these scientists are really excited for them to wear the helmets basically every day, and we would get this much better picture potentially of what therapies really work, how effective they are, and you know, you would be able to monitor the progress of these things much on a much more granular level. Eventually,
if they get the price down and there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of these machines out there. I mean, the way Brian envisions it is this would be kind of this grand study of mental health on a way that we've never had it before. And people would essentially use these things kind of like a Fitbit or an Oura ring to check on their body. You know, just like today, if your heart, if you're worried about your heart, you go in to have all these tests done, and there's tons of things we can do. If you're having mental health issues, there's really not a lot of tools at doctors' disposals to tell what's going on. And so Brian's big hope is this is like a big mental health breakthrough just by gathering so much more information.
I mean, it's definitely a very interesting goal, something that could potentially help a lot of people. I did want to mention, because you put it in the article, that they might have set some type of record for rejection where, you know, a lot of investors obviously are probably skeptical about something like this. And there was a bunch of people that passed on Brian's sales pitch for all this stuff. In the end, they were able to get money. I think he used a lot of his own money to help develop all this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number was 228 investors passed on Kernel. Luckily, so Brian, a lot of people don't know him, but he's actually an incredibly rich individual. He sold a company to PayPal a few years ago and made about $300 to $400 million from the sale.
He bought Venmo as well.
He did. Yeah, exactly. And so he put $54 million of dollars of his own money into this, basically for the first 4 years to prove that his ideas worked while everyone else was rejecting him. And then finally they got the devices to start working and they had the prototypes, and investors put another, you know, $55 million or so into the company. So it has been this huge high risk. I mean, basically people thought it was not really possible to make a device that could actually get any kind of decent data through the skull just from a helmet. The thinking has been that you really need to put implants in near the neurons to get any sort of major breakthroughs.
Right, and we're seeing people like Elon Musk and his companies working on things like that. I think they just had a demonstration, you know, a few months ago with some pigs and whatnot with these brain implants. So definitely a much more non-invasive way to go with these helmets. I always love new tech. I always love these types of things, these ideas, these goals. But just as interesting as the tech is itself, the people behind them are also pretty interesting. So tell me a little bit more about Brian Johnson, because you spent a lot of time with him. And I mean, he has an interesting health regimen. I mean, you put in the article snorting stem cells. He, you know, constantly getting tested. I think he's about 43, but his body, through all of this stuff, he's registering more as a 30-year-old man. So tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, Brian's quite the character. You know, people might be familiar with like the quantified self movement, this idea you're always measuring your, like a Fitbit is a rudimentary example of it. But Brian measures everything about his body, and, you know, tons of doctors working on all this stuff. And he now has this health regimen where he, you know, he eats once a day, very early in the morning. He eats like 2,300 calories in one meal and then fasts the rest of the day. He goes to bed at 8 o'clock every night and wakes up at 4 and does his workout routine and then his breakfast. And, you know, he and I we're about the same age. We're both 43, and I reported on the story for about 3 years. And so over that time I stayed, I went from 40 to 43, and his biological age dropped, according to the doctors, from 43 to about 30. And he has the exercise potential of like a 25-year-old. So it was a very humbling story to report on as we went.
I mean, he's doing IV infusions of anti-aging fluids, bunch of vitamins. There's a lot that goes into it, more than just, you know, eating healthy and exercising. But just an interesting look into the guy himself. And as I said, the goal overall with this thing, it seems pretty good. And if we can learn more about the brain, I mean, that's going to help out in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a huge breakthrough. Like, you know, like any powerful technology, there's certainly going to be big questions that come with all this. A couple of the companies that are getting early access to the helmets, you know, they want to use them to find out, like, maybe what makes a hit song or which parts of like a movie trigger things in people's brain to make it more entertaining. So, you know, you could see where we get into Black Mirror territory pretty quick, right, stuff like that. But the, at least, you know, Brian's, I believe him because I spent a lot of time with him. I mean, his overall goal really is toward mental health. I talk about it in the story. You know, he had depression very bad and had sort of suicidal thoughts at one point in his life. And that's kind of what triggered a lot of this. And, you know, I think he genuinely wants to help people. And so, but yeah, he's quite an interesting figure to be leading this.
Well, they're going to start shipping out pretty soon. So I'm sure we'll start hearing more about these kernel devices, you know, in the next few months and in short order. So we'll keep an eye out for all of that. Ashley Vance, writer at Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Join us on social media at Daily Dive Pod on both Twitter and Instagram. Leave us a comment, give us a rating, and tell us the stories that you're interested in. Follow us on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This episode of The Daily Dive is produced by Victor Wright and engineered by Tony Sorrentino. I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this was your Daily Dive.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.